Hello everyone and welcome to Journey to Success Radio, a show featuring people and companies who are making a positive contribution to the world. This show will help you learn how to apply success principles in every area of your life so that you can make the most out of your skills and talents and accomplish more of your goals. To find out more about the show, please visit www.journeytosuccessradio.com.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Journey to Success Radio. My name is Tom Tutall Cunningham. I'm a Napoleon Hill Foundation certified instructor, and my purpose in life is to encourage people to live positively through the many and varied challenges that life throws at us. You can find out more about this radio show at journeytosuccessradio.com. And today I have two amazing friends of mine who are on the call today. They're also contributors to an upcoming book called Journeys to Success, Empowering Stories Inspired by the Principles of Napoleon Hill. Therese, why don't you introduce yourself to everyone, please?
Hi, Tom. I'm Therese Cote. I'm from Hamilton area. How are you tonight?
I'm amazing. And for all of our worldwide listeners, Hamilton is near Toronto, where I live.
Yes.
Nice. And Ed, introduce yourself.
Yes, sir. Well, my name is Ed Lucy, and I am, that is my better half that just introduced herself. So
right.
I am a resident, too, of Hamilton, and recently moved and living in a new place with my lovely Therese.
Amazing. Now, you guys are also both fans of Napoleon Hill, and as a Napoleon Hill certified instructor, it would be really wrong of me not to ask you how you came about reading the book. Was there someone who introduced it to you, and did you read it a long time ago or recently? And why don't you start with that, Ed, because I know you are a fan of the book.
Oh, I'm more than a fan. I'm not as big a fan as you are, but I'm a fan nonetheless. I got the first exposure to the book. I believe I was the one that introduced it to Therese, but my very first exposure to Think and Grow Rich was actually back when I got involved in a network marketing, little network marketing company called Amway that you might have heard of before. At around the age of, I believe I was about 21 or 22 at the time. And my sponsor was a guy that cold contacted me and signed me up. And that's when I got my first taste of the MLM world. And he handed me that book and told me to read it and try and find the secret that was buried inside of it. So as many people do, well, as even the author does. And I read it a few times and kind of got a little frustrated because nothing jumped out at me. Couldn't figure out what the secret was. I did, of course, learn a lot of wonderful things for a young man just being exposed to those principles. And then, I stumbled along in Amway for a couple of years and, again, you know, had a great experience with personal development, self-development. Didn't do too much with the business itself. I really couldn't get a foothold and wasn't put in the activity that I needed to. But I guess the next time would have been when I became a nerd, and I literally mean that. I got involved in an independent contractor opportunity. As you know, I'm an IT guy, and I decided to try my hand at being a self-employed techie working out of my car. In 2003. So I signed up to be a nerd. I was running around fixing computer problems, and the kit that you got when you signed up as a nerd had a cell phone, some business cards, and lo and behold, there was Think and Grow Rich again in our business startup kit, because the CEO of that company is very forward thinking and he believes in the principles as well. So I saw the book and said, "Hey, I've read that book before." And once again, I read it two times and could not find the secret. So, you know, needless to say, I was getting a little bit frustrated with this, this message that kept showing up in my life, but not able to, make heads or tails of it. So, it went on a shelf, and I don't think I referenced it again, although I was living by the principles. And then the third time was actually when I signed up with Organal Gold in 2010. And there was the book again being promoted by our leadership and, you know, the wonderful partnership they have with the Napoleon Hill Foundation. Mm-hmm. And I now believe that the, you know, the secret, or what I think the secret to me is it's been revealed to me. So I'm, nice. You know, and then I met you, which was even better because that just brings it to a whole different level, of course, when you've got a close contact that lives, eats, sleeps, and breathes the principle. So I'm very
Tell
fortunate.
Us what you think the secret is, because the secret has never really actually been revealed. Nobody knows the definitive answer for the secret. But what did you find the secret to be?
Well, you know what? For me, and this is what I truly believe, I think it's different for everybody. I actually read the book. I think it was the yellow one that was also endorsed by Napoleon Hill Foundation. I think it's like the key to
Magic Keys to Success, right? Yeah. Something like that. I forget that one. The Keys to Success. Actually, I was just looking at it the other day.
Yeah. And I agreed with one of the authors. I don't think there is one standard secret. I think it's different for everybody. But I mean, for me, the one thing that really popped out was that, you know, your thoughts truly are things, that with enough focused desire and energy and work can manifest, can come to life. So I mean, that there's many of them for me personally, but that's one of the big ones that kind of really hit me between the eyes. So you know, these thoughts are they're energy, they're actual living, breathing, well, not breathing, but living entities that are there. And, you know, the chair that we're sitting on was an idea in somebody's head. This house that I'm living in, it was a thought in somebody's head at one point. So,
right.
You know, it's
you
we
got
can
it.
Make our dreams true if we really believe that and put the effort and the work behind it. So.
And we have like 30 to 60,000 thoughts a day. So we can choose our thoughts. We can pre-choose our thoughts when tough times come. Or we can just let the world throw its thoughts at us. And that's not going to be a good thing.
No, definitely not. Choose is a big thing for me. Choice is paramount to a lot of stuff happening in your life. So,
amen.
So Therese, why don't you tell Tom
how
you got introduced to the book?
Well, it's no surprise that it was introduced to me by Ed. how could I not know about it?
Right.
I actually bought the Think and Grow Rich for Women.
By Sharon Lecter.
Yes, and I think that's a very good read as well. He kind of led me to that, actually. And... you know, to be honest, I think working as a nurse, I live by those principles without even knowing it. And
all of the
that's
principles
my whole
apply
take
to
on
nursing. Right, exactly. All of the principles apply to nursing. And for sure, going the extra mile, purpose, applied faith, masterminding with other nurses and doctors. They all tie into healthcare very, very well, don't they?
Absolutely. And I didn't realize it at the time, but, you know, it makes a lot of sense. Even if you don't know who Napoleon Hill is, I think everyone lives by these principles in a different kind of way.
Right.
I recognize it through my work. Other people may recognize it in other ways. So,
right, and some people may use or recognize three or four of the principles, and someone else may use three or four other principles as their focus
mm-hmm.
in life. So can you tell me, nurses are my favorite people. I've been in hospital 40 times since the age of 5. I've had 4 hips, 4 knees, and 2 shoulders replaced. And the people that gave me the most care in the 40 times in the hospital was nurses, because a doctor will come by for like 3 minutes, like talk for 3 minutes and leave the room, and you don't see him for another 4 days. But nurses are the ones I call, the ones that help me with emotional struggles, with talking me, with helping with my health. And what an amazing career. I do see nowadays, though, that patients can be a little maybe, I don't know, more demanding or not
It can
very
be quite
friendly.
Challenging, yes.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So
oh,
talk
for
about
sure.
your career in nursing, because that is an amazing career and my favorite profession.
Well, that's nice of you, Tom. I do work as a psychiatric nurse, so it's a very specialized area in nursing. Why I chose that path was because I want to instill hope in other people who struggle with mental health issues. I really strive to help reduce the stigma to associated with mental health. A lot of people do need help, and I hope people know that it is okay to ask for help. Mental health is no different than physical health, and I'm very passionate about that. A lot of people suffer in silence with mental health, so I'm hoping that I can help as many people and reach as many people as I can.
Right. And I hope this doesn't get out too far, but here's one of the most positive people on the planet. But if you've been in pain 24/7, every second of your life for 47 years throughout your whole body,
mm-hmm.
it's almost impossible not to go through periods of depression. And
oh,
I've
absolutely.
Gone through those periods of depression. I've led depression support groups at church, and it's not just something that when someone asks how you're doing that you just come out and say, oh, I am horribly depressed, and how are you?
Yeah.
And so it's something that people tend to hide. And boy, when I led the depression support group at church, there were people who showed up that I was like flabbergasted, like, you're
mm-hmm.
in a depression support group? Because I would never have conceived that they would have had mental health challenges, and that's just one spectrum of mental health challenges.
Yes, yes.
And so
it's
amazing.
Quite challenging.
So
mm-hmm.
what is the nursing part of psychiatric nursing? Is it the talking to someone or physically treating them? What's special or different about that area of nursing?
Well, mental health, you're doing a lot of assessment, a lot of health teaching, a lot of support. It is a lot of talking, a lot of interviewing, you know, with the patients, finding out, you know, really what's going on with them. And I find because I'm in a hospital setting, people get to know you over time, so they are more open to talk. They feel safe in that environment because they're not the only one there. So it can take a while. I find people may be a little resistive at first to admit that they need help or that there is something going on with them. But once they overcome that obstacle, then we're able to work with them. We have a great team. We always work as a team. We're never working on our own so that we can provide the best treatment possible. And it is a long process and a lifelong process for the patient. So.
Amen.
Quite challenging.
I know, and later on in the show we'll talk about how you got into nursing because you made a ginormous commitment, and I believe I remember a time that was pretty hectic and stressful, so we can get into that later. Ed, mm-hmm. let's get back to you. You've named yourself or given yourself the title of Samurai Warrior. Ooh, I like it. What does it mean, though? What does it mean?
Well, there's actually a little bit of a spin on that. I like to call myself a compassionate samurai.
Oh, right. Compassionate.
And that actually, yeah, that actually came from a workshop that I was introduced to by a good friend of mine. And I was going through some tough times. It came at a very opportune time in my life. I had lost a job around early 2013. And I was working for a small company. They just decided to let me go. So I was on a hunt for something else. You know, I was still looking for another IT job, but at the same time, I decided I was going to jump in pretty heavily and invest in my own emotional well-being. So I latched on to some very amazing personal development workshops, And the gentleman that started this whole company, he, you know, he talks a lot about being a compassionate samurai. And as you know, samurai lived by a very strict moral and ethical code. It was honor above all else in their lives. And they lived with integrity, and they guarded their character very, very closely. So that just really resonated with me, you know. Like I went through a lot of work for about a good solid year, and I went into my first workshop and loved it so much that I went back again, because once you enroll, you're actually a student for life in this program. And after the second time, you know, I got a little bit more than I did the first time, and then by the third time, I decided, hey, you know what? I have an opportunity to support other people in this one of these events. So I helped staff an event, and then I think I did a total of five of these what we call personal mastery weekends over the course of almost a year. And I just had some incredible connections. I mean, I watched people make some big changes and step into their you know, a true authentic selves. The amazing, you know, being that we can all be, that God made us to be, if we're willing to believe and set aside all the junk and what we call the sunglasses that we grow up with. So, yeah, I just really like that title. And, you know, in one of my workshops, I was asked to make a mission statement, and it was very short and concise, but it was, I live by the mantra that I am a confident, passionate, and peaceful man. And I got that up on my wall, and I see it all the time. So that's
now,
what that
was
means.
It, when you, was it before you took the course? I know you've had some friggin' tough challenge in the last few years that would have tested anybody's character and faith. And if you're comfortable to share that, that is part of your life. And I think part of what these workshops have helped you work through and get to the other side, and compared to how your life was 2 or 3 years ago versus today, wow, you went through a friggin' tough time and you ended up on a very positive note, didn't you?
Yeah, absolutely. You know what? The workshops were definitely paramount in helping me with that. My challenge started in 2010 when I was, wrongfully accused of something that I didn't do, and, you know, in trouble with the law for the first time in my life. So, that started in 2010 and dragged out over almost 4.5 years. But the really tough part of it, I think, was in the first, so I'm going to say, two and a half years. So this workshop came along at a very, well, there's no such thing as accidents or coincidences, as you and I both know. So it came into my life at a time when I needed it. And it was, like I said, it was in 2013. So I was charged and convicted with something, and then I immediately started the appeal process to clear my name because, as I said earlier, integrity and character are everything to me. So I wasn't about to lay down and accept something that I would not even think of doing. So, wrapped up in all of that, I think the one thing that, one of the first things I took away from the workshop was just being able to forgive that person laid the charge. So I could hold on to that resentment forever if I wanted to, but resentment is like drinking poison waiting for that other person to die. One of my favorite quotes. And I just decided enough was enough, you know, like the damage was done for that part. All I could do moving forward was work on clearing my name. So that's what I got to work doing. And the personal mastery weekends and all those workshops I attended, they were crucial in helping me get rid of that resentment, you know, allow the forgiveness in, and to the point where I actually invited that person out to one of the weekends and paid for part of her tuition to enroll. So it was pretty amazing, and I attribute a lot of the growth that I went through to these personal mastery workshops. And I later went on to the next level, which was like they call it an advanced leadership course. So, I was out of work, like I said, in 2013, and wanting to go to that workshop, but I really didn't have the money to go. And I was really nervous about going over the border as well, just because of the legal challenges I had been going through. But you know, they say in the book, when your mind's made up and the focus of the decision is there, you'll find a way. That's literally what I did. I got enough support from enough close friends and associates of mine that I was able to pay for not only the course, but my hotel, my flight, and the food money I needed. And I made it to a 5-day workshop in California where I got to meet, I call them Ed Lucy 2.0. I really had some, you know, I had some life-changing moments in that 5 days, and I was touched immensely by, you call it whatever you want, I call it God, but I was touched by His spirit, and I had some incredible things happen to me. Like I asked the universe, God, before I left, I said, if I'm meant to be here, please let something happen that significant happen that tells me that I'm supposed to be here. And those events came, and it was like bullet right between the eyes, you know. It was just, it was incredible. I still get chill bumps now thinking about it, because you know, when I was sitting in that room and the first thing happened, it floored me, and it really helped me believe more in myself. You know, I still have a long way to go, as we all do, right. But it really helped me step up to the next level.
And let's make it clear that that court, when you appealed it, they were like, out of here. That's all wrong. None of it was true, and you are vindicated in the end, weren't you?
You got it. Yeah, I stuck to my guns, and thankfully, due to the amazing support of my family and my friends, especially my mom, I live by the mantra that Les Brown says, all that I am and I will ever hope to be, I owe to my mother. And she was a single mom, and she was there by my side, and we made it happen. I just lived with integrity. I went through the whole process just sticking to my guns. And yeah, I just got the news literally, I think, within the last 2 months, that 4.5 years later, that my record has been cleared. All the charges are being dropped or overturned, actually, not dropped. And yeah, I couldn't be happier. I mean, it was just, you know, sticking it out, having faith, and being persistent.
Yep.
So, yeah.
That's amazing, amazing. Now, Therese, let's get back to you. Mm-hmm. I know you have a passion other than nursing, and I think it has to do with health and nutrition, isn't it? Or what is it besides psychiatric nursing that is your real passion and purpose?
Well, it's most important to be able to take really good care of myself, to be able to do that job effectively. So other things I'm very passionate about, I have to say, though, first and foremost is always family. So any days that I have off, that I'm at home, I love spending with family. So that's my medicine, if you want to say. I really enjoy clean eating. I'm an independent consultant for Epicure, which allows me to do cooking classes to show people how to make good food real fast. For people on the go like myself and working shifts, it can be challenging to try to create good meals all the time and not take a lot of time. So I am a consultant for that. We sell spices, cookware. There's a whole variety of things that you can buy through my website, actually. What else? I am taking a course right now to become a nutritional coach, because I am a nurse already. I'm very involved with Epicure. I enjoy clean eating. I enjoy going to the gym. So I'm hoping I can fuse all these skills all together and help even more people be the best that they can be. And it kind of ties in, you know, mental, physical. I want to just focus on all areas of the being, you know, and help people in more than one way. So it's very exciting, and it's fun, and I'm hoping I can really take off with all of this. Get it all together and go.
Well, amen. And I don't want to say it. I don't want my wife to hear me say it, but I think that she would be interested in all those cooking utensils and all those things Epicure ourselves, but I know
I
for
love
sure.
It.
Both of
I absolutely
us love
it.
The spices. We love the spices. And I have maybe half a dozen friends who are customers of Epicure and buy the spices and introduced us to it a number of years ago. And boy, we just ordered some. And Kim was like, oh, I can't wait to get those. It'll be so great.
You know, I'm not a chef, but I feel like one. It's that easy.
Oh, you take that back. You have chef skills. I can attest to that.
we need pots and pans. You got pots and pans?
Yes, we do.
Okay, don't tell my wife.
Spending
money.
She's gonna come to the cooking.
I guess she cooks for me, so I guess I could let her buy those. It'll help make our food
you
a
should.
Lot better.
You should let her in on that.
Yes, well, we've recently made the commitment ourselves to eat more vegetables, eat less meat, eat cleaner sources of food. And
yes.
So we're gradually going through the learning process, mostly for her, recipes, how to cook different foods and how to find different vegetables. And so kind of an interesting Yes, when you get in your 50s, you're like, okay, we should start paying attention to this now. And so that you'll have yourself a big audience with Epicure. And to be a nutritional coach, boy, people need that so, so badly. Because really, most people don't have any education on that other than the food groups, whatever Health Canada tells us as our food groups. But you need way more than that to eat well.
And you know, you're just healthier overall. You can't go wrong cooking your own food because you know what's in it. You know exactly what you're putting in it. So if more people can start doing that, then we'll have healthier people.
Exactly.
I might not be a nurse very long after.
Well, that's okay. That's okay. That's a bigger... It's your purpose and your passion and what you love to do, and it serves other people. So as Zig Ziglar says, if you serve enough other people, or you can get everything in life you want if you help enough other people get what they want. And that would certainly be an amazing area where you could help people get what they want and in return get what you want. So I'm looking forward to when you graduate from that and you can help Kim and I with our nutritional coaching.
Absolutely.
All right, Ed. Now, you had a question you had asked me to talk about, and it was, what advice would you give people that are looking for change both emotionally and physically?
Well, you know, first off, like I think that's one of the things that actually, one of the many things that attracted me to Therese is that we were on the same page about physical fitness and eating and all that sort of stuff. So, it's just in summary, you know, a lot of people use time as an excuse that, oh, you know, I can't exercise, I don't have time, or I have a very good friend who's a personal trainer and he's actually got a book called Five Minute Fitness, and in it he shows you quick, you know, stand-up exercises that you can do that will make a difference over the long haul. And, you know, even myself, like I started fooling myself, you know, I fell off the bandwagon a little bit and thought, oh, I don't have time to the gym, go to the gym. Well, you don't necessarily have to go to the gym even to squeeze in, you know, like 10, 15, 20 minutes of things in any day. It's little things, right? It's just like taking the stairs versus the elevator and escalator. You know, I just got back from a stay in Colorado. I was in a hotel. I was on the 9th floor. And the first day, I caught myself taking the elevator, and I thought, wait a second. You know, why 9 flights of stairs isn't that bad. I mean, I've climbed the flipping CN Tower before, so I'm a huge advocate for doing stairs. Here where we live in my city, we're fortunate enough to have 4 or 5 sets of stairs, anywhere from 250 to 500 that go from the bottom of the mountain up to the top of the escarpment. So, you know, that kind of stuff makes a huge difference in big muscle groups that can impact your whole body. Believe it or not, Tom, do you know what the largest muscle in the body is?
Your femur, isn't it? Or not the femur,
not,
but...
Not bone, your muscle.
Is it your thigh muscle?
Your gluteus maximus is your biggest muscle in your body.
Your butt?
Your butt. Your butt is the biggest muscle in your body.
Oh, wow, hey.
So, you know, doing stairs, not only can it help work your cardio, but if you're, you know, if you're able to like take them two at a time, for example, you're basically doing a lunge and you're working your legs, you're working your butt, you're working your calves. Like that's when you impact a large amount of muscles at one time, that has an overall conditioning effect on the whole body. It you know, works your internal organs, it gets your heart pumping, it starts moving the blood around, and you know, you'd be amazed. Like I can do things as simple as, you know, sets of stairs two or three times a week and maybe four or five sets of push-ups mixed in with those stairs. And I can see the change in myself within days. It's crazy. So, you know, like it doesn't take any more than maybe 20 minutes a day to either maintain or get yourself fit if you're willing to make that small amount of investment. So, you know, like I had a contest at work with one of the girls that I work with. I decided, you know what, I'm gonna get her doing push-ups. So this is gonna sound funny, and I'll preface it by saying that I was putting things on the floor, but every time I went into the washroom at work to use the facilities, I would put some paper on the floor, or drop down, and do sets of 25, 30 push-ups. And we started a competition, and I actually got her involved, and she worked up from being able to do barely five push-ups to sets of 20. And that kind of exercise works for triceps, your shoulders, your chest. Great upper body conditioning exercise. So, but yeah, you know, it's that kind of stuff, and little things like, you know, eating healthy fats. Believe it or not, butter is good for you when it's used properly. everything's better with butter and cream, you know.
Is maple syrup good for me too?
In small doses, yeah. But, you know, coconut oil is amazing. I put it in my coffee. I actually put coconut oil in my healthy Organo Gold coffee, and I get the double whammy, or triple whammy, because I drink it with alkaline water. So, wow. And that's another, you know, that's another topic in itself, alkaline water. People are chronically dehydrated for the most part, and they don't realize it until they start drinking enough water and then seeing the changes in their body. Like, your body is literally 70% water. You need to get that liquid in there, and not only do you need to get it in there, but it has to be from a good source. And I found this alkaline water to just be amazing. It absorbs fast. It's alkaline, so it stops you from being acidic. And as you know, acid is a big cause for a lot of trouble in the body.
Right.
And you know, avocados, nuts, things you can snack on. It's just all this stuff makes a difference. So that's from the physical side. And the emotional side is basically just some of the stuff that we touched on already. You know, like people will invest in a stock market. They'll invest in a house, but what are you investing in you? I like to call it you Inc. How much money are you spending on yourself every year? Like, you know, how many books have you read? And I hear this from you time and time and time again, right? The average person just needs to read, you know, 10 pages a day to go through something like 20 to 30 books in a year. And it's amazing. It's amazing what that stuff can do for your mindset. Just who are you hanging around? Get around some positive people. You know, unfortunately, broke people can't help broke people. So, you know, get into some networking groups, Toastmasters, it might be. Right? I had an exposure to Toastmasters when I worked for Bank of Montreal, and it was incredible. You know, it's great for confidence building.
Sure is.
You know, books like Think of the Rich.
So I want to talk about Napoleon Hill. One of his success principles is learning from adversity and defeat. And it says in there that in every problem or adversity, there is the seed of an equivalent or greater benefit. And after 4 years of that legal battle, which was, I would say, it would be enormously difficult for anyone to go through, then you meet Therese. It's like, I think that may be the seed of an equivalent or greater benefit. And how did that guy's work? How did that guy work for you guys? And then also to follow that up, Napoleon Hill mentioned numerous times that the best mastermind group is between husband and wife.
What?
Henry Ford and his wife, Thomas Edison and his wife. And so how did you guys meet, because this seems to be, as I said, the seed of an equivalent or greater benefit, and how has it been to have a partner who is really part of your mastermind group, helping each other with their purpose and their passion and their goals?
I'll let Therese answer that one.
Oh my goodness. Well, I was pretty, let's say, self-sufficient for some time. I programmed myself to believe, oh, I can just take care of myself. I don't really need anybody. I was okay being alone until my father became sick, and he had cancer, and he died rather quickly, and I was there with him, and it was very tough. And, you know, I was listening to some wise advice from Dad before he passed on, and it really got me thinking, you know, it's one thing to appreciate being with yourself, but I needed to open myself to be with other people, allow myself to let people in. And once I allowed myself to do that, everything just happened. It was so amazing because it was at the perfect time, perfect place. I knew instantly that this is where I was meant to be. So in a nutshell, yeah, it was an eye-opening experience for me, and an epiphany, if you want to call, but pretty amazing.
You're speaking my language, because for a year, I got married. Handicapped, or my wife calls it handy capable. And I was very proud of how independent I was. I didn't need help despite my many health challenges. But now, after being married 7 years,
mm-hmm.
I let her help me. There are things I need help with that people wouldn't even realize. Putting on socks, sometimes it's hard for me to put on shirts or jackets or sweaters. It's difficult for a lot of things in my daily life that I used to be so proud of being able to do by myself, and now I have someone to help me with it, and I don't even have to ask. Now she can see ahead of time,
mm-hmm.
Ooh, that's going to be a problem. I'm going to give him a hand with that. And it's like, wow, this is way better than being independent, isn't it?
Well, see, I always thought nurses don't need help. We have to do everything, right? We task everything. We wear more than one hat, you know, and that's been my mentality all the time. I help other people. People don't help me, right?
Right.
So I had to kind of let that go a little bit, and my dad led me there, I'll tell you.
Wow.
Because my dad and mom were split up, and I was the one at his bedside when he was dying. And I'm looking at him thinking, Dad is here alone. Like, there's me and my son there with him. And he's telling me, you know, that I deserve happiness and I should welcome it, right? So I tell you, my dad, he led me to Ed. That's what I believe.
Amen. And Ed, on your side, Ed, you went through a pretty nasty divorce, very unpleasant.
Mm-hmm.
And often when people go through a nasty, unpleasant divorce, the last thing on their mind is, oh, I got to find another woman to maybe go through this again. So were you thinking, or thoughts are things, were you thinking, okay, now it's time to find someone that really, truly fits my purpose, goals, and plans, and who I am?
Oh yeah, I wasn't jaded in the slightest. I knew there was somebody out there for me, and you know what? Oddly enough, like we learn about written goals and how powerful they are, and I still fool myself with this to this day. I don't do enough of it yet, but I think it was about 6 months prior to meeting Therese. I don't know what happened, but I sat down one day and I just decided I was going to write out the description of the ideal woman that I wanted. I still have the piece of paper. I still have the book in front of me, and I still have the date that I did it. And everything I wrote down in that paragraph showed up in her.
Wow.
Basically 6 months
later.
So I really need to sit down and start writing more things out.
Wow.
True story, Tom. True story.
She's seen
it. I've seen it.
that's proof of thoughts are things. Like, you really thought it out, and then when you get that clear on what you want, your subconscious just goes out from your body, and it's like, this guy seems really clear on this. I better go out and find this for him. And somehow God and your subconscious work together to bring events to happen that afterwards you're like, wow, how did that happen?
Yeah.
Right. It was like getting down to California. I didn't think I could do it. But when I finally got pushed enough to where I made the decision and I drew that line in the sand, and when I put my verbal commitment out to the team and to the universe, there was just no looking back. I had said a couple times prior to, I want to go, I'm going to try for this date, but it wasn't until I actually sat down and said, you know what, burn the freaking boats. I am going, come heck or high water. And it was incredible. Like, within 24 hours, I had $1,000 already created and coming to me. And once that juggernaut started, it was just, the rest was history. It was a done deal. I booked my flight without even having full payment available. I made hotel reservations, like, just by me, like, networking with people I hadn't even met yet that were going to the same course. So I literally slept in a hotel room with three other strangers, but we became the best of friends and had an incredible experience. So, that when that laser-like focus is set and the decision's made, forget about it. It's a done deal.
Right.
And it was
great.
The same
did
thing
you,
with Tarai.
Yeah, did you read that chapter or that thing that he wrote afterwards as he showed it to you?
The one about me? The description of his ideal one? Yes,
right.
I've read it. So it's very real.
Wow. Wow.
It's dated as well. So it was way before he ever laid eyes on me.
Wow, that could be a
pretty
secret
amazing
for people who are looking for someone. Decide who it is, what you want, what you're seeking, and God and your subconscious will find it for you.
And actually, you know what? It's funny. I can't even take credit for how I did it. I was fixing a computer for a friend of mine. I'm not going to say his name, but and I stumbled across a letter that he wrote to his future wife, and I thought, you know what, that's an amazing idea. That sounds like there's got to be some merit to this. There has to be something to this, right? And he ended up finding his soulmate as well too. So I thought, hey, if it can work for him, it can work for me. So I sat down and I wrote it out. It wasn't as long as his, mind you, but I was very, very concise about what I wanted. And there she is.
There she is.
And, she just made the whole last 4 years more than worthwhile. And when you have support, when you have family, when you have friends, everything else is taken care of. It's like Tri said, she's family's everything to her. She's been an amazing partner to me. She's an amazing stepmommy to my boys. I couldn't ask for a better mate. So I'm blessed.
Amen.
And highly, highly favored.
Amen. Blessed and highly favored, for sure. And it is just another proof that when you're going through adversity and defeats, like, just keep going, because somehow, somewhere, the benefit of an equivalent or greater benefit is going to show up. And your story is exactly that, like 4 years of hell to find heaven in the end.
You got it.
Absolutely.
Wow. Well,
you just have to believe.
Have to have faith, have to be clear about what you want, and then it all comes to pass. Thoughts are things, and Ned put those thoughts on paper, and look what happened. So, yeah, you better put the thoughts down for the Ferrari, or I saw a very nice
Porsche.
Car. Porsche. Oh, okay. Oh,
get this right.
Nice. Very nice. Very nice. Well, it's been fun talking to you guys. I know we're going to be Epicure customers, not only for the spices, but maybe for Christmas. I guess it's wrong to give pots and pans for Christmas, but maybe Kim can just buy them herself. And when you're a nutritional coach, I believe that sounds like your passion and your purpose and what you love. And when you can combine it with, helping people stay fit and eating properly and looking after their lives, that may be as beneficial and more purposeful to you than psychiatric nursing, although that's an enormously helpful and needed field as well.
Oh, absolutely. I love nursing, but I know I can offer more to people. There's still more. I always strive to do more for others. And I'm just thinking outside the box, outside of mental health, and in a backwards kind of way, it's therapeutic for me as well.
Right.
So I'm not always surrounded with mental health issues. It keeps me balanced. So I'm still nursing. I'm still helping people, but in a, I don't want to say more positive way, but I want to reach as many different spectrums as I can. So that's very rewarding for me.
And that will happen. And I think pretty soon you'll be self-employed and have
and loving it.
Left nursing and loving it.
Yeah.
So I think you will be in that Porsche soon. And you'll be driving to your nutritional coaching classes and seminars in style.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe you'll let Ed drive it.
Life is good,
too.
Tom. Life is good.
Oh, did you already say maybe you'll let Ed drive it once in a while?
Yes. Well, thanks for being on the show today, guys. Your lives and the two of you being together there's a lot of success principles just in how that came to be. And Ed, I know your story from the last 4 years, and I cannot say how I would have gone through that myself. One of the ultimate challenges, going through court for things you didn't do and being vindicated in the end. Amazing how you upheld your character and you were able to even improve yourself through the process. So thanks so much, guys. It's been a lot of fun. And pretty cool when you can interview friends.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you, Tom.
Thank you so much, Tom.
Have a great night. Take care.
Yeah, you too.
Thank you, Tom.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Journey to Success Radio. If you or anyone you know would like to be interviewed for the show, email Tom at tomtutall.com for details.